Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
Presenting tonight, Black Urban America, which airs on Tuesday evenings from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And my name is Kenny Jones. On Saturday evenings, we have Provocative Thought by Carter Sneed. His show airs from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. The last Thursday of each month, we have Shields of a Nation, brought to you by Michael Francis Sr. Now, anyone that's listening by laptop or by phone, the number is 909-265-9215. If you have a comment, please press 1. If you have a comment or you have a statement or a question, please press 1. Now, the other thing I want to tell you is that pretty soon, We Talk Production will be partnering with Legal Shield, which is a law firm. We are doing a marketing partnership campaign, which will be coming to you pretty soon. Now, if anyone want to participate in advertising with We Talk Production, please dial 404-482-4804. Tonight, I have a gentleman by the name of Mr. Jomarian Harris. I hope he say his. I hope I say his name right. And we will be talking about Black mental health. Now, we make up 13.2% of the population. That's 45 million of us. Last year, 16% of us, which equal to 6.8 million people, Black folks, were diagnosed with some type of mental health or mental diagnosis. Now, for what I've been reading, they say our mental health might be a little different from other cultures. Most of our mental health is extended from historical and social economic issues. So we're going to go in detail tonight how our mental health is affecting our communities. Mr. Harris, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm up there, brother.
All right. I'd like to thank you for coming on the show and discussing this issue with the audience and with people that will be downloading the show. How serious is this issue, mental health, in our communities? When I say our community, I talk about Black folks or African Americans.
Well, first off, I like by saying, you know, my name is Jamarron Harris, a.k.a. Shaka Zulu. I'm an author of the book, The Dark Side of America's School System. I won Best New Writer of the Year in 2016, and I live here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and I'm 37 years of age with three wonderful children, and two of them are homeschooled.
You say your book is called The Dark Side of the American School System. Well,
yes.
In discussing, in your research, in your work, what did you find out? I know we're going off the total topic and everything, but that title, you know, is interesting to me. Dark Side of the American School System. What type of issue has you found out by writing this book? And again, I applaud you and congratulations on being author of the year.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, what I found out in doing my research is that how the IQ test is culturally biased, because it basically tests you on three things, like your memorization, how good are you at regurgitating things, and vocabulary. And Black and white and Chinese or whoever, Mexican children, they are all even until it comes to vocabulary. Because if a child can't understand the question to the test, how can they get it right? And so most parents don't have a thesaurus, don't have no encyclopedias in their homes. And the biggest word we probably could use is probably chicken wing. And so the children really don't know. And so you have people like Lewis Turner.
That's not nice, man.
Yeah.
Shaka, why you want to go there on us, man? The largest word we know is chicken wings.
I'm saying that because, I mean, some people reject a lot of it. You can show them the facts, and they just reject it still because we've been conditioned, the mental health issue, we've been conditioned to think that something that's right for us is wrong for us. And doing a lot of research and stuff, you have a lot of your people looking down on you because I probably used to steal before, like when I was younger, and a lot of people can't see past that, even though you changed. And so a lot of people like to reject a lot of stuff that they're not used to hearing, or when they see the change in a person telling them that, they don't want to hear it.
So is mental health associated how our children are taught or the curriculum they have?
Say that again, brother.
Children?
You are coming in and out.
Oh, is the mental health issue associated with somehow the educational system? Is that could be one of the factors?
That's an aspect of it. It's a plethora of different things. Like, first of all, like slavery. I don't have to go into details about that because we all know how horrific it was. But slavery and the things that was done to us, the separation, the caste system, the light skin, dark skin, the house slave, the field slave, and what they knew that it would cause dysfunction and we wouldn't get along with each other, because you can see it to this day, we don't trust each other like that. And so,
how come we don't trust each other?
Because we've been socially engineered through. The way that we was raised in our families, the dysfunction that we see, the yelling, the verbal abuse, the physical abuse, not having a father around, just the trust, you know, the way that we was raised. Once they came out with welfare in the 1960s, because, you know, welfare is a weapon. And when they came out with that, Lyndon B. Johnson said, and he couldn't stand Black people, and he said, I quote, I'll have those niggas voting Democratic for 200 years. He said that because he knew if he kept us dependent on it, it would turn the Black female against us. Now all Black females are not the same. So I refer to black females that's on welfare because it's not their fault in terms of the way that it was created. I call them liberal black females. Now, why do I call black women on welfare liberal black females? It's because the liberals, the Democrats, they passed the Welfare Reform Act, and this created a mentality. This created a mentality of, I don't need a man for anything. A man can't do anything for me. Because, you know, when welfare first came out, they had people in the neighborhoods working for them in community watch with social service, and the women that took welfare, they had to sign an agreement basically stating that you can't have a man in the house if you take these benefits. And so if you take these benefits, so the woman used to have to tell the man he had to leave out of state, not out of town, and the social workers had to see that he had a departure ticket going to the said state, and they had to have a social worker, or he had to check in the next day at the said state that he was at to show proof that he's in that next state. And so that was in the beginning. Now, they don't come by people's houses no more. That was in the 60s. Fast forward, right. They got inspection now. They got inspection, and they better not catch no size 12 shoe up under their bed. And if it is a size 12 shoe, it better be her shoe, because it's a disincentive. It's a disincentive for a woman to get married on welfare. It's a disincentive for a woman to get any benefits or further her education, because in some states, people get more benefits and more money on welfare than it is the system, than it is working. And so we must look at that mental health issue. Then we got to look at the fact that the black men are the only men in this country where the woman outgains him, where the black woman outgains him. Now, I don't have a problem with a woman making more money than me, but I have a problem with the government taking another trick from out of their bags and using them against us, because I have a presentation I put up called Black Mental Health, Addressing the Elephant in the Room, and one of my slides I got, all these 2 million black women with degrees, black women with degrees and not married. And so I was looking into what they were saying, and they were saying that I've lowered my standards from the height of 6'2 to where I don't even care what his height is, as long as he's working. And because she said she knows it's intimidating that a lot of black men might not want to talk to them, but they don't understand that this is a creation. This is a social engineering. It's not saying don't pursue a career. It's just black women are putting their careers before a family now. Because it is a lot of good black men to find, even though there's a lot that's out here, and there's a lot of good black women to find, even though there's a lot of good black women out here. But, you know, just that welfare part, that's another aspect. And then you have racism. Racism comes in three forms. You have institutionalized racism, then you have interpersonal racism, and then you have internalized racism. Now, the first one, institutionalized racism, is basically how society places differential burdens on people, mainly us. And then you have interpersonal racism, which gets the most attention, like bigotry, discrimination, not being liked because of the color of your skin or your race. Then you have internalized racism, because we devalue our own lives, and because we live in a society that tells us our lives ought to be devalued. And so we also tend to sometimes devalue each other. So there is a major stress associated with being African American in a society that shows and tells you that your life is worthless. And so when we're dealing with those forms of racism, what happens is that our life expectancy is lower than other demographics of groups of people, like 74 in the United States, and I can make a case that is even lower than it. And so you got 74 black males, 77 black women, 79 or 78 white males, 81 white women. And so the reason why, see, black men go through the same thing mentally, dealing with our mental health, that white men and other men go through, but the thing that sets us apart is the racism and the three forms of it that I just named. So what happens is our body is in a fight and flight mode constantly. And this fight and flight was that God gave us, it was meant to keep us alive. It was meant to keep us from the big animals before we became advanced as we are. And so it was meant to last for up to 2 minutes. You can move, you can run fast as normal, you can hear things as much as possible, you can see things as clear because you're afraid for your life. And so what happens is when you're living amongst racism in a racist society, and you've been bombarded from so many different ways from racism and being at the bottom of the spaghetti pot, dealing with black men and women in terms of how we're treated. And so what happens is you have a chemical called cortisol, and cortisol is released into the kidneys. And now it's released from the kidneys into the bloodstream. And what happens is you have to pump more blood. The heart has to pump 2-3 times more blood. And so what happens is your other organs in your body have to work 2 times as much because you're living up under a constant fear. You don't have to know what I'm saying. You could be the most ignorant person, but you are affected because you got a hard time paying that light bill, or you can't find a place because of your record. And you stand with people, and you're around abusive people all the time. You're getting locked up. And you see what I'm saying? So this fight and flight is constantly on. The light switch never cuts off. The light switch is always on. It's only supposed to last for 60 seconds to keep us alive. So this is the reason for the high blood pressure. This is the reason that mom can't play with the children and take them out like she wants to because she's working 2 jobs. And she don't know when to take the pants off when she meet a good man because she's so used to wearing the pants and the dress. You see what I'm saying? And
that's not putting any women down. Chaka, we have a caller for you.
Yes.
Wait.
Hello,
a minute.
How are y'all?
How you doing? Welcome to Black Urban America. You have a question or a comment?
This is Deidre from Raleigh, North Carolina, and I just have a brief comment if y'all don't mind.
Go ahead.
The mental illness is really trauma. I feel like it's really trauma because like our black children are constantly being traumatized. I look at the so-called Pledge of Allegiance in these places, like at the school board meetings where there are black children present at the school board meeting, and they're pledging their allegiance to a flag, the United States flag, which is the same flag that hung high, over the slave owner's house while the slaves were being hung and burned alive and the men, women, boys, and girls being raped by the slave owner. That type of behavior is trauma. And it's been passed down from generation to generation. And our children are still suffering because of the blatant disrespect, the blatant racism that these children are forced to look at each and every day of their young lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Just like transgenerational behavior, which you were just referring to, and that it's two ways. There was a direct effect of the people that's coming out of slavery that it directly affected, but it was passed down because they didn't have any parental morals and anything like that because they didn't know too much. We were so traumatized. And then you have the people that suffer indirectly, which is us. And so they did a study on some scientists did some studies on some rats. And what they did, they shot the grandparent, the grandmother or whatever, before she even had children. They shot the rat, and before the rat had children. And what they seen, that rat's children's children display symptoms of the shock effect, even though they wasn't directly shocked like the grandmother, great-grandmother rat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm using that analogy just to show how it's passed down. Trauma is passed down, and we never got any counseling. It's like being in a mental institution without any doctors, without any counselors, without any therapists, without any psychologists. There was never any treatment, just trauma. And these social policies that they have, it actually makes it worse than what it is because the public housing. And then you have the Section 8 and then the way that it's formed and then the school systems, how the zero tolerance. The zero tolerance is 100% school to prison pipeline. Because these black boys get suspended way more than anybody else for the same thing these white boys be doing, same thing these white girls be doing. For spitballs, you're getting expelled because somebody playing with spitballs in school and things that children can't even be children anymore. So what happens with zero tolerance? It increases bullying. Because when you take so much from a child and they have to be the subject to the enforcer so much, what happens is the child starts to put their emotions on other children by picking on them. And so that's what I was saying about that.
Okay, you have another question. Do you have a question, caller? You have anything else to say, caller?
Oh, no, thank you.
Okay, thank you for
thank
calling. Go ahead, Shaka.
Yeah.
Anybody
just,
else,
like
that,
another
anyone
thing,
else that wanted to make a comment or a question, please press one.
Go ahead, sir.
Another thing that traumatized us is the crack epidemic. And we understand. Say that again.
That was the biggie, crack epidemic.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the crack, okay. And so we had a crack epidemic. So we understand one aspect of it when they say the Contra-Nicaraguan thing that was going on and with Blandone and Freeway with Ricky Ross and when the CIA had brought it into Los Angeles. Now, that was in the early 80s. But what people don't know is that in 1971 at the University of UCLA, you had the creation of crack cocaine by two scientists, two white scientists. And if anybody's listening to me, please don't believe anything I'm saying and write and research everything. And so you have Dr. Jolien West. He was a neuroscientist. And you had Dr. Ronald Siegel. He was a pharmacologist. And so what they did, they tested it on monkey. And you could YouTube it. You could go to it right now. And he's actually bragging on it. He, like Ronald Siegel, he's actually bragging on creating crack cocaine, how they tested it on monkeys in 1971, and how it was created 13 years before we heard of it. And so what happened was in the early 1980s, after they created crack cocaine, because they tried to figure out an inexpensive way that, because cocaine was more of an expensive drug, an inexpensive way of people to do cocaine. And so what they did, they designed it to where, because mind you, Jolien West, Dr. Jolien West, he's a neuroscientist. He knows the effects of the body. He knows how the skin, he knows how the body works. And so he knows how the nervous system works and things like that. And so what he did, he knew if you took a, for example, a white man, black man, Chinese man, he knew about alkaloids, which is a people that's highly melanated, they have a lot of alkaloids, which is like a chemical that helps us produce more melanin. And so he realized that by designing this drug, even though a white person, a Chinese person, a Mexican will get addicted in a black person, but that black person is going to get more of an intense high, it's going to be harder for them to kick that habit. And of course, they get higher than everybody else because the way that it designed it. And so when they released it, you had Ronald Reagan in 1986 passing these the war on drugs, even though Nixon coined the term war on drugs, which is code word for the war on black people or black men. Ronald Reagan, he passed the legislation. And so my point of saying that is, because my brother, my younger brother is a crack baby, the crack epidemic traumatized and damaged millions of black babies. And then you had him passing laws taking the daddies away. And so once they took the daddies away for crack, they drug the children up with kitty crack, with the Ritalin, with all these other things, really? The Depakote. And what they do to low-income women, they know that they're poor and impoverished. So if we give you a check for drugging your son up, you'll be more inclined to do it. And when somebody, because I know women that make hustles out of their children. I'm talking about they'll tell you going to the doctor and act crazy. Just act like you're crazy so we can get a check. And then you find out them drugs they prescribing your child is harming your child, so you want to take your child off that drug, and now your child going telling the school that he ain't taking that drug no more, and guess who's going to come and take not only that child and take the rest of your children? CPS. And then you're going to be on, and then you're going to be on CBS. You see what I'm saying? And so that's just another way that they got us with the crack and all these other things and abortions. For every one black child that's born, there's three black children aborted. And so it was first called the Negro Project. It wasn't called Planned Parenthood. It was called the Negro Project in 1941 on back. It switched to Planned Parenthood in 1942. And Bill Gates' father was a chairman on that board with Margaret Sanger. And so you're dealing with the women that abort that.
Could you say that one? Can you repeat that last thing one more time? Who was on the board?
Bill Gates' father. Bill Gates' father was a chairman on the Negro Project board. It's called the Negro Project. And they named it Planned Parenthood in Brooklyn, New York, in 1942. And so you're dealing with, I've seen sisters get, I ain't seen them get abortions, but I've been around sisters that got abortions, and they've been convinced that they did not take life. And they say, oh, that was a fetus. Oh, that was a glob of glue. Oh, that wasn't a human. And see, I used to be that glob of glue. We used to look like that thing that wasn't a human. We used to be a fetus. You have to go. Mm-hmm. We all went through that process to be here. So they convinced them of that so they'd be more comfortable, just like the Europeans told the other conquerors that we was demons and we worshiped devils so they could be comfortable with enslaving us. And so, like I said, for one, and ever since 1973, since the passing of Roe versus Wade, you had 19, you had 15 to 19 million black babies aborted. So if our population is 42, 45 million, it's supposed to be more than that. It's supposed to be in the 60 million. And then another form of birth control is when you lock a brother up, because the strongest form of birth control is birth control. But another form of birth control is homosexuality. Another form of birth control is locking people up with these crazy time structures that they're giving people. And so the family is traumatized from the brothers and sisters being locked up because they got to deal with that pain. And we getting shot down in the streets. It's constant trauma, and it's never turned off. The light switch stays on. And so one of the solutions is this, because we'd rather tell you that we HIV positive than to tell you that we got mental health problems. We'd rather tell somebody that we HIV positive or we got herpes than to tell somebody that we have mental health problems. And some of us like to drink it away. We like to sex it away. We like to beat it away. We like to argue it away. You see what I'm saying? But it's not going anywhere. Only thing we did was sweep it up under a rug just so someone could walk past us and it come from up under that rug. And we become grenades and explode on somebody in the wrong way. You see what I'm saying? We take things out on our children. I seen a sister, one of my homegirls from Fayetteville from back in the day, she was telling me about how she got molested. And how when she was 13 years old, she told her mom about her boyfriend molested her. Her sister was 9. She was 13. And her mother kicked her out of the house. And so fast forward, she out in the streets, got about 7 children to this day, 5, 6 different baby daddies, cursed the children out, welfare, because she's so traumatized, never got any help. Same thing happened to her 9-year-old sister when she turned 11. I guess the boyfriend was on his best behavior for 2 years when she was 9. And so the little sister came and told the same mom, she made her go stay at her grandma's house because they had different grandparents. She made her go stay at her grandmother's house. That's trauma. Now she's a lesbian. And so it's like it traumatizes us so bad because most of these girls are lesbians. It's like since a man did this to me, you know what? Psychologically, they're not thinking this, but psychologically, they're thinking like, literally, they're not thinking this, but psychologically, it's like, I don't want no man to ever do me like this. So you know what? I either want to become a man, even though I can't do that, or I want a woman that act like she's a man. Because in all homosexual relationships, you still have the male-female dynamic. You still have a man that's gay, and he think he a woman, and a dude that's gay, he the man. You got a woman that's gay, she the woman. You got a woman that's gay, she the man. And when you're looking at the situation, you go into their childhood. You see what I'm saying? And you see trauma, and it's never been addressed. It's never been talked about. If you got touched on, the family been out here, you bring it up, because the person that's the victimizer get protected, and the victim does not get protected. They damn near get treated like the damn victimizer. And so psychologically, it's like, damn, I did something wrong. I must have did something wrong to my mom. I seen another little girl, her father got custody of her, and a judge asked her who did she want to go stay with. She was like 16, I think. She was a little bit old enough to where she could decide. And she chose to go stay with her dad. Her mama ended up killing herself. It did to the girl, she grew up like, damn, what did I do? Like, what? And mind you, she didn't do anything wrong because her mama kept her away from her dad. And so when she said, I want to choose my dad, now she wish she could rewind time and like, okay, I just want to be with my mom. But her dad would be traumatized. You see, so I want to start some advocacy groups for homeschool parents, for men with single parent men that don't have their children that's on child support. Because me and my homeboy, he did a documentary, and it comes out in September. I don't know what he names it, but it's about child support. So you're dealing with trauma. The brother by the name of DeAndre in 2016, he got killed in Durham, downtown Durham, by the police because he pointed the gun to the police. But when you look into what happened to him, this man had 3 jobs. He took care of his son. He put a suicide letter on Facebook. He wrote a suicide letter on Facebook. I forgot his baby mama name, but I'm going to just say Tina. And he said, you won, Tina. He said, I'm about to kill myself. He said, and you won't really have full custody then. F these courts. He said, I tried to go to these courts. These courts is against us. These courts are for these women. He said, I do everything I got to do. I take care of my son. I love my son. He said, I work my butt off. He said, but you win, Tina. You won. And he went downtown dumb. He was crying. He like, I can't get my kids. I can't. He pointed the gun to his head. And the police officer said, put the gun down. He pointed the gun at the police officer, and he got killed. But before he got killed, he worked at a funeral home. He told the guy at the funeral home what suit he wanted to wear, but the guy was trying to talk him out of it because he knew what he was going through with his child's mother. And, you know, he didn't want to live anymore. So, but the solution, we got to talk about it. We got to create some platform. We got to create something, and somebody got to stop being afraid to talk about the elephant in the room and stop worrying about what time Empire come on. Because we know everything about nothing, and we don't know nothing about something. That's why I say we're the only group of people at the poker table with Uno cards. Every time it's our turn, draw four, skip, and reverse. We're the only group of people at the poker table with Uno cards. We don't know what our elbows from our buttholes. All we want to do is get high with the next female because the black man has been emasculated. We've been emasculated to where the only way I can feel like I'm a man instead of the provider and the protector is by putting pain on another brother or having sex with so many females. All these females I have sex with, that's, I'm a man now. You see, so I'm starting to be back a believer in a shotgun wedding. Like, if you get my daughter pregnant, I'm going to take a shotgun, and I'm going to come and find you, and I'm going to make y'all get married. That's the definition of a shotgun wedding. And I'm being sarcastic a little bit.
I know what a shotgun wedding is. But, Shaka, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of mental health workers would think that some of the solution could be medication and revamping some of the social services programs. How can black folks trust, from the historical data that you gave me, Planned Parenthood and other institutions of that nature, how can we trust different institutions to assist us when they are the one that are implementing the drama towards us?
Exactly. And that's why I like to tell people, if anybody got a pen, you can write down the Association of Black Psychologists. The Association of Black Psychologists. This is they're from all over the U.S. The Association of Black Psychologists, they had a split with the white psychologists in the 60s. Because what they figured out is that the white psychologists, they only focus on two things, which is the deficiencies in yourself and the deficiencies in your family. And right. The black psychologists, they agreed with that, but they kind of disagreed because the white psychologists didn't bring up the deficiencies in the environment that we're raised in. Because if they brought up the deficiencies in the environment, they would have to bring up racism. And so the black psychologists, not only do they focus on the mind, body, and the soul, they focus on the environment, the person, and the family. And so we got to go get help. We have, because I get counseling sometimes from up here in Raleigh at the Bay New Cultural Center, up under the Baba Kamal and his wife Nana Epia. And so you know, and they talk to me quite a bit. And then by me knowing a lot of this information, it helped me out a lot to reach out and talk to people. But yes, we cannot trust them because by us, even black psychologists with white mindsets, you got to be weary of them.
Because
you got a lot of black
psychologists. They were educated at white institutions, and their foundation and fundamental learning in their field are Eurocentric, like Freud, like other historical psychologists that the white psychologists frame their work on.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
Now,
and so it's like taking their solutions is like talking about getting rid of the spider web instead of the spider. We got to stop worrying about spider web solutions. If we don't get rid of the spider, then ain't no need to talk about these spider webs because it's going to keep being put up and placed around us, and we're in this web of confusion.
Who do you think today is the spider? What spider that we have to get rid of today? Who is the spider today? It's the political.
Well, the spider, of course.
Is it social? Is it cultural? Is it daily routines? What are some of the negative factors? Is it the criminal justice system, which Michelle Alexander, the new joke, the
yep.
new Jim Crow laws, said that the criminal justice system is anti-black male. So
exactly,
what spiders we got to get rid of? Do we got to get rid of all the spiders, or just we got to focus on one spider at a time?
Well,
and who
well,
are
well,
the spiders?
Well, first, you got a lot of black people that ignore that there is a problem, and they focus on a symptom. The symptom is black on black crime. So you have a lot of black people that, well, we keep talking about white people, but all I see is black people doing this to each other, which is true, and we do need to address that. But that's a
yeah.
symptom of a cold. See, before you catch a cold, your throat started to itch. That throat itching represents black-on-black crime. But what caused you to have a cold? The food that you eat. What represents the food? The white supremacist society that we live in. And see, I read a book called Racism Without Races. This is basically talking about how can you have racism without a white person over your back directly controlling your life. You see, and it teaches, so when black people start to understand, you have to change yourself. Change begins with self. And so when you start to change yourself, you start to read more about history, read about your conqueror, read about your enemy, whether you think they're your enemy or not. When you read about it and you read history, you won't let it repeat itself. And so you get around like-minded people and learn from each other, and you'll learn how the system works. Instead of somebody just saying the system all the time. Because some people could get tired of hearing it, but it don't matter. And so once you understand how the game of chess is played, not learning how to play the game, but learning how to not to get captured in it. And so once you see how the judicial system, once you see how they play us off against each other, once you see how just the things work, you can start to come together. And what can happen is you can't stop everything, but what you can do is put brakes on a lot of things. And a lot of us need to stop being scared and afraid to die for a cause. And I'm not saying let's go kill white people, because that's stupid. You see what I'm saying? Because any fight that we're going to battle, if anybody probably end up killing me, it'd probably be somebody that looked like me. And so that's all it is. There's many facets to this system. People don't know that the reading, how they could judge off your reading score in elementary, they could tell you going to prison. Because why? Because most of those boys in middle school and high school, black boy, they read on a fourth grade reading level. And I went to prison twice in 2003 and 2005. And even though I know the statistic, but I also know it personally, most of those people in prison read on a fourth grade reading level. They cannot read that good.
You have to check out.
Just based off your reading.
Check out these writings, Shaka. These four books by Dr. Kwanzaa Kajufi.
The conspiracy of destroying the black boy.
Okay, you know it. Okay. Excuse me, sorry. Sorry about that. Now, let me ask you something. Since we're on that conspiracy to destroy black boys, in one of the books, Dr. Kajufu talked about self-image of the boy, the self-image of the man.
Yep.
Tell me something. What do you think are the current self-images of the black man? How do the black man view himself today?
Well, first of all, we are totally confused, most of us, because we don't know who we are. We say, now you got the new brothers, some brothers talking about something, we aborigines. We life didn't begin in Africa. We don't come from no Africa. We don't come from no slaves. Slavery happened in reverse. Then you got the brothers or some sisters talking about they got Indian in their blood. Then you got some that say they Dominican. Then you see what I'm saying? And so we view ourselves with a lot of self-hatred, and we don't know it. And so what happens is, it affects other people. It's toxic around other people in the self-image about us. And so that gives a bad stigma about black men and the black and black people in general, because the average white person thinks the black woman is the angry black woman and the average black man is the angry black man. And, you know, they complain about affirmative action, but they don't understand how it benefits white women more. And you see, and so it's the black man, his image is like self-destruction. And he doesn't see himself anywhere really in the world. We just see women as a piece of meat. We're very quick to get angry and emotional. We can't have civil conversations without somebody mudslinging. And and all black men are not like this, by the way. It's just the thing that you see on the average. So the self-image that we feel about ourselves right now is really not that good, and it shows with how the media portrays us.
What do you think is like the chicken and egg? What do you think, that we're trying to copy the media, or the media is or the media is portraying negative images on purpose.
Just like they did the Irish. See, the Irish, the Italians, and the Jews wasn't considered white until the 1940s. And so what the media used to do to them, they used to have big billboard pictures with Irish people with big noses and looking like monsters and stuff like that. And so they used to do the same thing to them. And so once they tried to beat their numbers up, they said, hey, we messing up. We already a minority, so why would we separate Irish, Italians, and Jews? Matter of fact, we would consider them white, too. They had to beef our numbers up. So they did that in 1940, and then after that, everything exclusively was portrayed negatively towards black people, and it wasn't divided necessarily. And so, yes, it's the media. It's the media and a lot of people, because the average white person don't have no contact on the average with black people, and the number one image and perception they get of black people is through the television. And so there's a lot of stigma, negative stigma attached to the television about it.
So you were expressing earlier one of your solutions is to have an advocacy group. What do you think that advocacy group would entail? What issues would they address?
I would like to have an advocacy group or create one, or someone help me create one. That's because there's many ones, but this one in particular is like for black single men or black men that doesn't have their children, or they're fighting for custody or child support battle, child custody battle, and they don't
child support. A black fatherhood program.
Yeah.
Where they could
I would like to address, along with them, address what's actually going on with this child support system, for example. And how can we come together? What can we do about it? And me personally, I know how to child, because I told you I narrated a documentary on child support. And what I would say, like, as a solution to that, I had received a letter in the mail for child support because I never seen my newborn child. And so the sister went to Georgia or whatever, some BS, but that's a whole other story. So, but to speak on that real quick, I had a child support letter come in the mail. And see, I already know how to deal with the system because I never signed a birth certificate. And I'm not telling people not to sign it, but you need to think twice before you do, because there's other ways to establish paternity. So I know personally, through my research, that if I didn't sign no birth certificate, that's the way that the child support service have jurisdiction over you, is because they have to establish paternity first. And so the next step they'll do is send you a letter in the mail, basically for a DNA test. And so what I did, and what I would share with some other brothers, for example, in this advocacy group, and it's not for sorry fathers. Like, it's not for no sorry men or nothing. I don't even think they should be alive. But this is for the good fathers. And so I would not accept that mail. And what I would automatically tell someone is to send it back certified mail. And what would happen is they would send a process server. And what you do, you give it back because you're not required by law to take any mail. And the last step is they send a sheriff to your house. So the sheriff haven't came yet, but I know what to do. And it's because the child support agency is totally...
You have another caller. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Yes, sir. How are you, both of you? I hope the best of the best for you always. My friend, you know, you put that mental or black mental health. I mean, come on. And my friends, not only black, all the population in America, the mental health is so bad because we are bombarded with the 5G network that we have, your modem, and not only give you 5G, it give you 2.4G network. Only you need to disable the 5G network on your modem right now. Only 2G is enough for all the whatever you do. I mean, you are not going to connect 100, even if it's good for over 15 devices. I mean, 5G, and at night, people need to turn off their modem.
What's a 5G?
5G network is the 5G network is the many new modems that you are buying. It operates on two different levels. One is 2.4 gigahertz and one is 5G gigahertz. And very soon, which the 2.4G will be phased out, and they only give you.
I know they're coming out with 5G.
Yeah, and medication too, my friend. Everybody at least minimum of 10 or and, between
but,
10 to 20.
But let me answer
20.
You real quick. Because that's like a two-part thing with the 5G and then how racism or how people are going. A lot of things is happening to everybody in this country, not just black men. Well, you're correct.
Right.
It's happening. The opioid epidemic. It's hurting white people a lot.
Oh, opioids.
And
okay.
You have a lot. You have a plethora of many things that's hitting us, but you have to understand.
Oh,
you have to tell by your accent. So, see, you was brought over. You came over here as an immigrant. Black people did not come over here as immigrants. We were forced to come over here, and so we're the only people that they can't send back. They could send you back. They can't send us back, and so. We are at the bottom of the black men, black women. We are at the bottom of the spaghetti pot in this society because of the legislation that white people pass. Now, if you can understand about anything about genetic annihilation, you know that white people they are in the minus zero birth rate, and you have black people. We're in the minus zero only in the United States of America, but that's because of abortions and locking us up. And so, their number one thing is. White genetic annihilation. They're not birthing as many children. They know by 2050, even earlier than that, it's not going to be that many white people in this country. And 200 years from now, there's not going to be no white people on this planet because they have more old people than young people, and they need more young people to replace them. So what happens is when you're dealing with black people, the original people, African people on the planet, we have general worldwide, we have more children than anybody else because we're the first people on the planet. We're the only people that could cohabitate with a Chinese woman and a child still come out looking like us. We could cohabitate with a white person and a child. We got dominant genes. So the number one enemy to somebody with genetic annihilation, recessive genes, is someone that's highly melanated because that's the number one enemy towards you. This is what they know. This is not no my opinion. This is facts. This is scientific facts that if you have a recessive gene, the most recessive, more than the albino because the albino got a dominant recessive gene, and you're dealing with people with dominant genes, scientifically, that's what eugenics is made up for, what they created it for, what Francis Galton created it for, because it was the preservation of good white genes, and which is another form of scientific racism. So it's a specific attack they got on black people. They want to lower the population in the world anyway. They want to lower it down to 500 million people, and that's on the Georgia Guidestones. But since black people can have children the most, and we have dominant genes, we are the number one threat to white people's existence. So they've known this since the late 1800s. So this is why the crack epidemic hit us the hardest. This is why abortions hit us the hardest. This is why you see black men making less money than black women, and this is not because black men are lazy. This is because of legislation. Like the number one women, the number one people out of black people that work in these postal services is black women. They were 6%, and Obama passed up, and now they're 10%. And so now they're getting most of the degrees, 60% of the enrollment in these colleges is black females in terms of black people, and 80% that's on the honor roll is black women. So, yes, it's going through everything with everybody. Yes, but you got to understand it's hitting us the hardest. And another thing about the 5G, yes, the 5G, I understand 5G and the 2.4 gigahertz and how they're going up the Y gig, and it's 40 to 60 gigahertz, and they're putting down these millimeter cell waves, these cell towers. And that's going to cause a lot more cancer. But that's another subject for another day.
Yeah. Hey, on that note, brother, I appreciate the information that you provided this evening. I appreciate the knowledge that you have. And I thank you for coming on the show. Also, will you be available tomorrow morning? I'd like to call you tomorrow morning about 9:30.
Yeah, I'll be available.
Okay. All right, Shaka, thank you for coming on the show, and I appreciate you. And I'm going to be talking to you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, can I get my contact information real quick?
Please do.
Okay. If anyone want to contact me for homeschool advocacy group, any advocacy group, you got an idea. I don't have all the ideas. I'm just two minds is better than one, and many is better than it. And so my contact number is 919-298-0272. That's 919-298-0272. My email is ZuluNation, Z-U-L-U, Nation, 80@gmail.com. My Facebook is Jamarin Harris, J-O-E-M-A-R-I-N, Harris. In parentheses, it has Shaka Zulu. If you want to merge, want to do something, we can have an online study group, and we just get in. We can advocate for each other, share ideas. I know a little bit. I know quite a bit about law, homeschool, the school laws, and stuff like that. So if you want to come together, you want to network.
So we can make that happen. That's what I want to talk to you tomorrow morning about. We can make that happen. I have a proposal for you. I want to talk to you about something. We can really make that happen, okay?
Yeah, and I really appreciate it too, brother.
No problem, man. No problem.
And look, is there a link for a recording? Is there a link that you can leave me for a recording for this so I can send it out?
Brother, I'm gonna send you a link tonight. Just give me an hour.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Okay. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm gonna be calling you tomorrow morning, man. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. That was powerful. That was powerful. And I don't have anything to say after that. Usually I end the show with my own comments. But this young man is onto something. And I got to get his book. The Dark Side of the American School System. Everybody go out and buy that book. With that, I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night.
Hold it now!